There's a market demand for environmentally preferable products. So sometimes the first step is to create a marketing campaign that says you do it.
It's Climate Week in New York City. The good news? Hundreds of companies are pledging to reach net zero emissions by 2040. But how do these good intentions actually translate into lower carbon emissions? I'm NPR Chief Meteorologist Paul Huttner. Today on ClimateCast, how can we tell which climate pledges are real and which are greenwashing? Jim Niccolo tracked greenwashing in the late 2000s as a member of Marketplace's Greenwash Brigade. Now he is Sustainability Director for the architectural firm Lord X Sargent. Hi, Jim. Welcome to ClimateCast.
Hi.
Take us back to your Greenwash Brigade days. What was the goal and what kinds of marketing were you seeing back then?
So I think I had responded to an NPR call for people who had information or thoughts on greenwashing. And then they basically formed a small group of us to write blogs about greenwash because it was kind of a rising issue in the marketplace.
And what were companies talking about and writing about that got your interest in assessing greenwashing?
Basically, the idea behind greenwash is that there's a market demand for environmentally preferable products. So sometimes the first step is to create a marketing campaign that says you do it before the action has followed. I can think of like the most personal greenwash experience I had was in 2009. I bought the Green Car of the Year based on the environmental claims and feeling like it was a good purchase and doing the right thing for the environment. It turned out it was one of the Volkswagen fraud diesels. So, you know, it was producing 40 times more NOx than they said it was.
Are you still seeing that style of greenwashing, or how has that evolved?
I feel like it's evolved a lot in the past decade, especially in the building industry where I practice. Early on, there were a lot of claims of building products being environmentally preferable without a sort of way to validate whether they were or were not better. And what we've seen in the past decade is a real shift towards greater transparency. There's a new area of reporting called environmental product declarations, or EPDs, where there's a framework for building product manufacturers to identify what the actual environmental impacts are in their products and report on it in a way that you can compare.
So now we're watching this big wave of companies like Amazon, Coca-Cola, Procter & Gamble, JetBlue, all pledge net zero emissions by 2040. How should we assess these commitments?
I think it remains to be seen. I will say we're hearing on the architectural services side, kind of legitimate interest from some of these companies to design more efficient buildings. They're also starting to look at embodied carbon, which is the carbon footprint of the building materials. That's a relatively new area of interest. But I feel like, especially in the tech sector, we're seeing pretty legitimate, authentic interest in how can they drive down operational emissions and embodied carbon emissions in the building sector anyway.
Corporate greenhouse gas awareness and commitments have certainly come a long way in the past decade. That's a positive. But don't we really need government actions at large scale to approach the Paris goals of limiting warming to plus 1.5 or 2 degrees Celsius?
Yeah, I will say, I mean, and I've seen this in the building sector, what often happens in the market is these voluntary programs come forward, show a path for how something can be done, and then the regulations kind of trail behind. And I expect we'll see that with carbon emissions where, you know, these voluntary efforts will translate to regulation and greater requirements over time.
When we look at things like Climate Week in New York City, what's the best way to assess these climate pledges?
You know, we talk about greenwash as sort of a negative thing, but in some respects, I see it as positive because it's a signal that people are asking for it. It may initially result in the marketing department scrambling to tell a story, but I think over time, you know, the invisible hand of the market, it will move towards what the market's asking for.
Jim Niccolo, thanks so much for your insight on ClimateCast today.
Oh, thank you. It was a pleasure.
That's ClimateCast. I'm NPR Chief Meteorologist Paul Huttner.